In your book, God sent His Son. They
verse, God sent His Son.
just to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. Oh, just because He lived. Oh, I can face tomorrow. Oh, it's gone, thank you, Lord. Oh, because I know, yes, I know He holds the future, and life it's worth the living. Just let's stand and sing the chorus again.
While we're here tonight, praise the Lord. This is 388 in your hymn book.
Oh, once like a burden prison I dwell, there's no freedom from my sorrow I fell. Oh, then Jesus came, He listened to me, and glory to God. Oh, He said, turn me around. Oh, daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God I'm going through. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. Oh, He broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God, He set me free. Oh, now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. Oh, my feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. Oh, He broke those bonds.
turn around and shake hands with your neighbor this evening? You are. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. Aren't you happy to be here?
Amen.
It's wonderful, isn't it? To know that we ain't seen nothing yet.
Amen.
Appreciated that the other night. I've been feasting on that all week. I've told several people. Brother was telling me something the other day, and I said, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Appreciate Brother Arnie's ministry the other night, how the Lord used him to speak to us. Just lift us up a little bit higher, see a little bit more of what God has in store for us. We appreciate that. Pray that the Lord fill him back up from emptying out the other night like that. All right, we have several announcements. First of all, youth Bible study tomorrow evening, 7:30 to 9:30. Be downstairs. Encourage you to bring a friend, get everybody you can to come. Next Wednesday night, that's a week from tonight, there will be no service here because they're going to be doing some work in the sanctuary, and so we're not going to have service. And Sister Jeannie and Brother and Sister Layton and I had the privilege of going and visiting with Sister Patty this afternoon, and she encouraged us. I just was amazed by it because we went in. Our burden for her and our purpose of being there was we wanted to encourage her and let her know that the saints were praying and everything. And when we got done, she'd ministered to us. And so Brother Jimmy asked me as we were leaving, he said, make sure that you tell all the saints at Church of the Open Door how much I appreciate everything that they have done and are doing for Sister Patty and myself. So from Brother Jimmy, we send those greetings and thanks to. We're the bride of Christ. We're the body of Christ. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice, right? And so we're praying for our sister in this trial that she's going through. We have several prayer requests tonight. First of all, a sister in Finland having difficulties during a pregnancy. It's a serious condition. Ask that we would pray for that. And then traveling mercies for the trip back home, leaving tomorrow, from Brother Christian. Just remember that. Also, Brother Nathan sent in a couple of requests. He's been in communication with a Brother Marrero from Brooklyn, who just happened to be visiting Puerto Rico with his daughter this week. And he texted Brother Nathan the other day and said, it's supposed to hit tomorrow, which was today, please pray for us. And Brother Nathan's texted him a couple of times but hadn't received a response, which is understandable because communications are a little bit rough right now on when a hurricane's hit you. And then also Brother Nathan asked us to remember the believers in Mexico City. They've had an earthquake down there I'm sure you've probably heard it on the news and things. Just keep them in prayer. Unspoken request. God sees each and every hand. And let's also remember Brother Nathan, Sister Rebecca, and the children that are on a vacation right now. A much deserved vacation. Pray that they would get relaxed, rested, and come back ready to minister to us and preach to us. And a special unspoken request. Thank you, brother. A special unspoken request for Sister... Is that Joy? For Sister Joy Duvall. Okay? Brother Trevor, it's good to see you tonight. If you would come, please, and lead us to the Lord in prayer.
Let's bow our heads before the Lord. Heavenly Father, oh God, our hearts cry out for you tonight. Lord, we see the signs around us, and we know that, Lord, if there ever was an hour that was a late hour, it's this one, Lord. Oh, I know they've said it for many years and many times, Lord, and I, you know, myself as almost any teenager, never really thought I'd even get married. The Lord's coming was so close, and here I am, Lord, and I've been married for 17 years, but Father, it's still truth.
Amen.
The passage of time doesn't mean anything to the truth of your word. We know that you're coming, Lord. Father, my heart just yearns for more of you tonight. God, I pray that there be just such a burden on each one of our hearts to draw closer to you tonight. To let go of all the foolishness and cares of the world and to really, oh, to just clear our minds, to clear our hearts, that we could see you tonight, Lord. That you could touch each heart, Lord. That you would come through the aisles here, Lord, and through the pews, Lord. And that you would speak and have a communion, Lord, with each one of us. Lord, tell us the things that we need to know, Lord. And show us the things, Lord, if there's error, if there's some places that we're getting off. Lord, show us and lovingly correct us. Bring us back, Lord. May we yield and surrender those things to you, Father. Oh, God, that leaving this church would be a group of people that are ready for the next day and for the days ahead, Lord, as the times get dark, but we would be filled up with you, Father. Oh, may our communion with you be sweet every day, Father. So show us, Lord, our path and what we must do, Lord. Give us contentment in you. Give us patience, Lord, as you work your will in our lives. Father, for each of these requests, Lord, for the pastor that's gone, oh God, give him a good time of rest, Lord, and be with him and his family, Lord God, and give him such a nice time, Lord God. And then as he goes and is ministering this weekend over on the eastern part of Florida, Father, I pray that you would use him to speak to the hearts of the people. God, that a revival would take place, Lord God. And that hearts would be changed, that lives would be turned toward you, Father. Use him, we pray, Lord. And so now, Lord, we invite your presence into this place, Lord, as we bind our faith together for each one, for Sister Patty and the special unspoken requests, and for the sister in Finland that's having complications. Father, you can take care of the situation. You can uncomplicate the complications, Lord. You are the creator and sustainer of every good thing, Lord, and we thank you, Father. Lord, be with our brother Christian. We pray that he's been blessed while he's been in our midst. We pray that you would be with him on his journey home to Finland tomorrow. Lord, that you would use him in that country, that he would have a place, Lord, that he could speak for you and Lord, just be a representative of you and this message in that country, Father.
Yes.
So, Lord, be with us tonight. Anoint the word as it comes forth to touch our hearts and our lives, Lord. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. It's been requested that Sister Christy sing this song this evening, so let's enjoy this. God bless you. Bless you. Sure appreciate that, Sister Christy. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 170 in your hymn book.
I'm living below. tell me when, oh, could I go but to the Lord? Oh,
Brother Layton to speak to us tonight, so you just be attentive and pull on the gift and have good listening ears as we pray for that whatever God has given him for us will be just what we need. So, amen. Sing this little chorus as he comes.
Oh, we'll give all the glory to
Tonight, I want to go right straight to the message. I don't want to eat up a lot of time, and I wrote down a stopping time. I laid it up here, so while I'm preaching, I'll keep looking at it and remind myself when to stop. I told Brother Hoover, I said, if I get too long, you go time or something, you know. And he, but anyway, we had a nice time with Brother and Sister Ard. Definitely, I agree with Brother Hoover. We're definitely encouraged by seeing her. My, talk about a real trooper. There she is laying there. She has come from dialysis today, and yet she's testifying to the four of us and how nice it is. I don't know if I could do that. You know, it's, we all fight our different battles, and the Lord knows what each one of us can handle. And I wonder, you, those of us that have been here a while, you know, she broke one arm, and about the time it was getting healed, the other one broke, and then she broke that one, and then they found a tumor in her back, and the Lord undertook, and they got that out with ease, and now her kidneys are acting up. So I can't explain why or how come or what for. And all we can do is pray and believe. So we're trusting the Lord, and so is she. And he'll work it all out according to his perfect will. If you would, turn in Exodus, the 40th chapter. And I'm going to be taking my text out of a good portion of the chapter. So we're going to have to move right along. So we don't waste a lot of time. And I'll do my best to stay on track. I think you've noticed most preachers. Brother Trevor, you know how it is. You've got your notes down there, but you may run far afield, and the next thing you know, you come back, you're on your notes again. I hear Brother Nathan's, I don't know who that was for, but I think we all tend to do that as the Lord leads. We can have our ideas and put them down on notes, but we've got to try our best to yield to him and let him lead us. It's like Brother Arnie, Brother Bird the other night with his sermon, his little sermon for us, and if it wasn't, I was talking to the wife about it. You know, if that sermon he gave wasn't but for one person, it was worth it. And we don't know who was sitting there that night. Even though we know all of you, we don't know what you have need of spiritually, let alone naturally. And who knows what he said that may have helped one person. It may have helped every one of you. I don't know. And I feel the same way when I go to minister. If I help just one person, if the rest of you don't like it, I'll be disappointed, but if it helps one person, I'll be happy. Amen. So that's the way we feel about it tonight in speaking on God's word. Now let's bow our heads just for a moment as we approach the word before we read. Father God, as we come, Lord, we've talked to you about this for days and days, but yet you've laid this on our heart, and we believe this is your will. Now, Father, help me to step aside and let you take complete control. Let me say that which would be pleasing to you and that would help your people. And we do it all for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just one verse I want to read and draw from there. Or maybe I should say build from there. And that'd be the third verse. And it says, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony and cover the ark with the veil. Please be seated. What I want to talk to you about tonight, and before I start, Brother Buckles, it's good to see you back with us. We've certainly missed you. I looked down there and said, oh, Brother Buckles is here. So it's nice to see you. And my wife was just asking me today if I knew how you were. And I said, no. And she's, well, I guess we ought to call Uncle Royal because he lives just a couple trailers over from you and he would know. But good to see you here tonight. And we thank the Lord for that. Now back to the subject. What I want to try and get across to you tonight or speak to you on is the tabernacle and salvation. And some of you may wonder, what does a tabernacle have to do with salvation? But Moses, the Lord instructed Moses on how to build the tabernacle. He gave him all the dimensions, the colors, and everything in it, and how it was supposed to go together, and who was going to do what, which tribe was going to do which one, and which tribe in which group, and where they were going to camp, and everywhere else around the tabernacle. It was all laid out by Almighty God through his prophet Moses. Now, God had Moses put the tabernacle in order. And if you notice here, it's talking about the tabernacle. It said, and thou shalt put the ark of the testimony in the and cover the ark with the veil. Moses started building the tabernacle, think about this now, from the inside out. And some people may wonder, said, and I tell you, he does the same thing for us. But some may think, now wait a minute, Brother Layton. But he has justification and he has sanctification, he has baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is absolutely right. But let me ask you a question. How did you come to that justification? Who called you? Where did he call at? The inside. Where do you start your change at? It's not like it was when we were in Pentecost. It's not get this old boy out here all straightened up. Get your dresses down and get your sleeves down and get your tie on and wear the right kind of clothes. That wasn't it. It was starting on the inside. But you see, Pentecost, the way we were raised, it was the other way around. Oh, let's get them into church there, Brother Bryant. And let's get them in and let's preach to them. And when they're here, now you've got to stop your drinking. You've got to stop your smoking. You've got to stop your lying, your stealing, your cussing, your running around and your gambling, all this stuff. And you've got to get your dress right. You've got to let your hair grow out. You've got to take your makeup off. And you've got to do this. And you've got to do that. And yet, at the same time, on the inside, there were nothing but a bunch of snakes. Not all of them, but most of them were just, they walk out of church and they live the same kind of life. Oh, they may have cleaned up a few things, because I knew a few of them. Some of them were real good and real genuine, but for the most part, they would shout and they would run and they would speak in tongues and they would holler and they would scream and they would dance. And oh, we love the Lord and oh, we love each other, at least until you get outside the door and down the street. What happened was they were building the tabernacle from the outside and trying to build it to the inside instead of doing it the way God said. He told Moses, you take the ark and you put it over in this part of the building, or the tabernacle, the tent area. And from there, once it's set there, then you draw a veil across it. He said cover. That don't mean he dropped a veil over it. That means he put a covering across the front of it so it couldn't be sealed. Now, what does God do for you and I? He calls us first from the inside. And then from the outside, once the inside is taken care of, then the outside takes care of itself. Amen. That's why a person can come in and they can sit on the pew. And you may turn around, you may look and say, well, I thought that person was a message believer. Look at that. Look how they dressed. Look how they've got their hair. Look at how they do. Look at the way they talk sometimes. Look at how they act. Well, you know, I heard they were down here. Okay, then instead of doing all that, why don't you pray for them? Amen. Think about that. So instead of deciding, well, gee, you know what? You need to get your outside straightened up. We need to take Brother Lee back there and we're going to straighten him out now because he's not doing just exactly right. He don't talk to his wife just exactly the way I think he ought to talk to her. He don't do this just exactly the way I think he ought to do it. And we're going to take Sister Stutzman's back there because I don't like the kind of dress she wears. And I think she ought to wear it this way. I think her shoes ought to be this. And I think her hair ought to be this. Come on. Don't worry about the outside so much. Worry about the inside. Moses wasn't worried about the outside. When they went to set up the tent, the Lord said, take the ark. Think about it. Take the ark and set it thus. And then draw all that veil across it. I've already went off my notes, by the way. So let's go back here. And I was saying, he says justification, sanctuary. Yes, he does. God does that, but he has to call you before you can be justified. And you have to be justified and you've got to answer that call before you can even think about being sanctified. And then once you get that part done, then we'll see about going into the holiest of holies. There's too many people who want to go to church and they want to, let's do it this way. Let's say up here is the holiest of holies. And out here is the holy place. And the entryway, that's the courtyard. Too many people want to run to church and they think they run right on up here and be into the holiest of holies. Now, I'm not saying that because the preacher's up here. We're just using that as an example. They want to run right on back into the holiest of holies without taking care of the other things first. Oh, but Brother Layton, I've been justified. I ran up and I got baptized. That water didn't clean you up. But Brother Branham said, he said, you can baptize and go down a dry center and come up a wet one. So it's not just that. It's got to be the call. And you've got to answer the call. That's absolutely right. But once that call is answered, then you've got something you've got to do. You've got to take the effort. You've got to clean it up. You've got to get rid of those old habits. Kind of like my father-in-law did when he went and gave his heart to the Lord in Brother Branham's meetings. He walked out, took them cigarettes out of his pocket, threw them under the car, and never lit another one the rest of his 60 years of serving the Lord. He had to do something, but he could have walked around with them cigarettes in there, Brother Brian, and went, "Oh, God, I want you to take these cigarettes away from me. Oh, Lord, take these cigarettes away. Wait a minute, I got to have one, Lord." Psst. That wasn't it. It was, "God will do it, but you've got to do your part." See, Moses had to do his part. The priest had to do their part. The tribe that carried the ark had to do their part. The ones that put up the covering, they had to do their part. Everybody had a part to play to get it set up. And so do we when it comes to serving the Lord. We have got a part to play. The tabernacle in the wilderness is a type of salvation today. Because it started from the inside and worked outward. And once it was set, then the people could start coming in. Think about it. They had to come in. What is it? Brother Bam said it was the deep that called unto the deep. See, it was God calling to this. When he called here, justification, then you went and you repented. Sanctification, you cleaned up your life under sanctification. You get baptized. And then you're fit for the Holy Ghost. Remember the story of the three glasses, or the one glass, that Brother Branham talked about? I wish I had one here tonight. I actually thought about bringing three different glasses. One really dirty, and one cleaned up, and then one filled up to demonstrate and set them up here. Here you were here, out in the old world of sin, just as filthy. Would you pick that glass up, all dirty and cruddy inside and out? Would you pick that thing up and drink out of it? I wouldn't. But the fact that you've seen it, and there was something special about that glass. These people go to yard sales and estate sales, and all of a sudden they see some old dirty piece of pottery or glass or something, but there's something special about that piece, and they reach down and they pick it up. See, they saw it. That's God. He saw you, and there was something special about you, so he called you. The justification, he picked it up. Amen. Then you took it home and you cleaned it up real good. Sanctification. That's why you did that glass. You take it over there, you take it home, you put in that hot soapy water, and you wash it, and you wash it, and you wash it, and you wash it, and you look at it, and you dry it all off. Oh my, that's so pretty and shiny and clean, and you set it up there on the shelf. That's just about as far as some people in the I'm talking about message people now. I'm not talking about them out yonder someplace. We're talking to message people. That's about as far as some message people go. They come in, they get justified, they get sanctified. Then they sit back and say, "Well, bless God, Brother Hoover, I'll have you to know I've got the pictures in my house, and I've got the message books, and I've got the message tapes, and I go down to a message church, and I've got a message pastor, and my wife is a Holy Ghost filled, or my husband is a Holy Ghost filled person, and oh, bless God, and I'm just going down to church, and I sing. I may even come up and sing a special, and all of these things that they do, and I pay my tithes." Well, bless God, that's what you should do. But what about the next step? Oh, if Moses had just said, "Well, you know what? We're going to take this ark and we're just going to take it over here. We're going to set it right there. That's where God said to put it. Okay, we're done." God said, "Set it there and put the curtain in front of it. Put the veil in front of it." The veil represented the Holy Ghost that hid that veil away, hid that ark away from everything else outside of that. You see, that's what the people do. They come in and they walk down into a message church, and they've been raised in the message or around the message, or they've come to the message and they've answered the call and they've cleaned up their life, but they never go far enough. They just sit there and say, "Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that's in me. Bless his holy name, I've got her made." No, you don't. You've got to take the next step, because I understood that there's three steps to salvation, not two. We're talking about bride now. We're not talking about just getting, it's like some say, "Oh, you know, so-and-so, he's going to make it." He may well make it, but what I want to know is, where's he going to be at when he makes it? We are running a race. Now, where do you want to come in the race? I'm sure, Brother Trevor, you want to come in last place all the time. I'm sure, Brother Zion, that you just love to beat your daddy. So, I'm in first place. That's what you're running the race for, is to come in first place, not second and not third, not last. I won a race and I came in third place. How many people were in the race? Only three. But I'm in this race to make it in first place. I don't want to come in second place. I don't want to be in the foolish virgin. I don't want to get there just because I was good to the bride. I want to be there because I know that I know that I know that down in here there was a deep that called to the deep. And I answered that call, and I not only did it, I answered, but I cleaned it up. And not only did I clean it up, I sought him in the way he told me to seek him before the altar, but down on my face until I knew that something had changed me. I'm not doing it just because the preacher says you can't do this and you can't do that, and the prophet said do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that. That's not what I'm doing it. I'm doing it because something inside of me says that's what I want to do. Why? Because I love him. There's something in there that I can't help it. It's like Brother Branham explained to us about the dove. Who was it? How does that dove put that oil outside? The dove don't think about it. Just does it. Why does that old hypocrite crow go over there and eat with the dove and fly off and eat some old dirty, rotten carrion or meat? He don't even think about it. Why? Because that's his nature. But when God calls you and changes your nature is to do what? What did Jesus say? I come to do the will of my Father. Amen. Then why would we want to do something to make Father unhappy? Why would we want to do something to offend him or to hurt him? You say, you mean you can hurt God's feelings? Well, I heard Brother Branham say you could. He called his children and he wants them to come. He made a provided way for us to come. But the problem is too many people aren't coming the way he provided. They're only coming part of the way. And then they stop. I don't care if you're a preacher, if you're a deacon, if you're a song leader, if you're an instrument player, if you're a tithe payer, if you're just a laity member. I don't care. Sunday school teacher. I don't care what you are. You've got to come God's provided way. And if you don't, when the rapture takes place, you won't be there. I didn't say you were lost. That's not up to me. That's up to him. But I did say I'm not in this race for second place. And you shouldn't be either. It should be Moses. Oh, we left that ark sitting over there, didn't we? But God said, when you set it down there, put the curtain across it. That's what we have to do. Sit down where God told us to sit and draw that curtain, that Holy Ghost, so you're shut on the inside. Not running back out there. Not running back out the farther place. And then not coming back into the holy place. And then trying to run into the holiest of holies. And then back out into the holy place. Then back out into the open court. Then back into the holy. No. He said you come in. Brother Bram said what you want to do. And what you better do is you better get so far behind that veil that you never get out. Yes. So you want to be sealed in there. Amen. And once you are sealed, there is no way. I think sometimes people don't get it. They don't understand that once you are sealed in, you can't get out. Just because you go to church and a fella is sitting on the seat next to you, he can sing and he can shout and he can jump and he can run and he can speak in tongues. Does that mean you're going to make it, Brother Hoover? Not just because of that.
Nope.
But if he ever gets sealed in there.
Amen.
I wouldn't have to jump a lick. He could jump every service and I could just stand and look at him and smile. Wouldn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean I ain't going to make it. He might speak in tongues every service. I may not utter a word. He may run the aisles at every service. I may not move an inch. He may clap his hands at every song and I may just stand there and sing. Somebody might look and say, oh, Brother Layton, he ain't going to make it. Look at it, just like an old dead doorknob sitting there. Ain't doing a thing. Oh, look at that Brother Hoover. Oh, my, look at him. He's spiritual. Oh, he speaks in tongues and he runs the aisles. He preaches the message. He sings the songs and he does this and he does that. Bless God, I'm glad he does. But that don't guarantee him a place in the bride. There's only one thing that guarantees him a place. And that's God calling him. Think about it. Predestination. But he's got to know. You can't take it by, well, maybe I'm going to make it. Maybe I'll get there. Well, I believe the message. I think I'm going to be there, Brother Steve. Yeah, you know, I teach Sunday school, so I must be going to make it. Sounds good. But that's not what God said. God said you have to be born again. It didn't do Moses any good to take that, have that ark carried in there and just sat down. That was only part of the word. It was carried. It was placed where it was supposed to be. But it had to be sealed in behind that curtain, because that was God's word. And the same thing goes for you and I. We have to come His provided way, but we have to come every step of that way. Not two, three. Not one, not two, three. We've got to come the way He told us to come. But I see too many around the message, and I've traveled a little bit myself. I've seen too many around the message. I remember one church that I was in, and I'd been there several times, and I thought, man, what? And they were good people. Don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. They were good people. I thought, oh, surely that one and that one and that one and that one and that one. Oh, surely they've got the Holy Ghost. And then when I got through preaching and getting ready to make an altar call, I said, how many? And you've heard me do it here. How many of you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are sealed in and got the Holy Ghost, and if the Lord comes tonight, you're going to go home in the rapture? I don't know how my face looked that night, but I was shocked at the hands that did not go up. But yet they walked the part. They talked the part. They dressed the part. They sang the part. They acted the part. But they hadn't gone far enough until they knew. I could do it this way. Who shall I pick on next? Brother David, have you got the Holy Ghost? Well, it didn't take him long to answer it. See? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, because I don't want to embarrass anybody tonight. Brother Luke, have you got the Holy Ghost? I've asked people that. I'm serious. I've asked people that, and they go, well... I go, really? I didn't say that out loud to him, but that's what I felt like. Really? Wow, did I miss something? Really? Excuse me. Okay, I went way off my message, Brother Trevor. Not so much off, but I didn't. It's all this stuff I've been saying. Okay, I'll do like Brother. I don't know who that was for, but okay. There it is, Lord. Thank you. All right. Now, the next thing, in the fourth verse, it says this. It says, and thou shalt bring the table and set it in the order, and set in order the things that are to be set on it, and thou shalt bring the candlestick and light the lamps thereof. Now, it's talking about the tables, because in the holy place, I remember, in the holiest of holies, there was one thing, and that was the Ark of the Covenant. Right. The Ark of the Testimony. It's called both things. And in that ark was the Ten Commandments and the stick that budded, Aaron's rod, All right. That was in there. They called it the Ark of the Testimony. They called it the Ark of the Covenant. Both names. Drew the curtain. Outside of that was some of the people we're talking about, shall we say. They had a candlestick. Moses said, you'll bring those things in there, the table, the candlestick, and you'll light the candles thereof, and you'll put what goes on the table that goes there. And that was the golden plates and the golden knives and forks or whatever the implements was that went on there. And the shewbread, which is also called the showbread. Two different things. It's the same thing. And what it meant, the shewbread is meant before the face of God always. And they put them in two piles. And there was six piece round pieces of bread in each pile, and each one of those loaves of bread or large round wafers stood for each one of the tribes of Israel, excuse me, not of Judah, but of Israel. So see, God had a reason for all these things. And then up against the curtain that separated the room from the Ark of the Covenant was the altar, a golden altar. Now, I want you to think about that. We're talking about typing the tabernacle with salvation. In order to get here, there's an altar. We have natural light. We have natural food out there. But we also have spiritual food in here. We have spiritual light. But the spiritual, think about this now. The spiritual light sat down on top of the Ark of the Covenant, the pillar of fire. But when they went into the holy place, there was natural light. So justification Just to be able to come up to that far into the outer court, sanctification into the inner, into the holy place, sanctified, living a nice holy life. You've got some shoe bread over there at the priest's aid oven. It represents so many different things. And then you got the natural light of the candles, which was lit by the priest and kept, had to be relit, and oil kept in. If it went out, they had to go clean it, put more oil in it, relight it again. But in there also was an altar. And on that altar was incense. And that incense was burnt up to God when they offered prayers. And so it is today that when you come into the church house or wherever you want to make your altar, I'm not one of these guys that says the only place you get the Holy Ghost is down here at the altar. No. Well, number one, we don't have an altar. We have some steps and we use them as an altar. But I believe you can get your altar. You can get your altar in your car. You can make your altar in your car. You can make it in your closet. You can make it in a bathroom. You can make it in a shower if you want to. Excuse me. You can make it on the job. You can make it walking down the street. You can go out and sit under a tree in your yard. You can go out in the garage, wherever your altar is. But you've got to come to that altar and offer what? Incense up to God. And Brother Bram said, our sacrifices were, and our incense that went up to God was what? Our prayers that we offered up to Him. So when He calls and you're justified, and then you come up and you repent, you're sanctified. When you get up and walk away from there, you should make the changes into your life that needs to be made. To match the word of God. Not because you have to. There's enough of them out there that live a so-called quote unquote Christian life because they have to. I live a Christian life because I want to. I remember one time standing outside of the Branham Tabernacle years back, and some brothers standing out there talking about what they could do and what they couldn't do, Brother Trevor. Oh, we can't do this and we can't do that and we can't do this and we can't do that and we can't do this. And I walked up and I listened. I said, well, brothers, let me tell you something. I said, I do anything and everything I want to, and there ain't no man going to tell me what I can and can't do. That went over real good. They looked at me like, Brother Layton's backslid. What is wrong with this man? I said, but brothers, you're misunderstanding. I said, here's the thing. What I do to be pleasing to the Father. I don't do it because the pastor says so, and I'll go this far, so don't take it the wrong way. I don't even do it because Brother Branham said so. I do it because in my heart is something that I want to please Father. So I don't want to do anything wrong. But if I do and I make mistakes, I want to go say, Father, I'm sorry I didn't mean to do that. I know I shouldn't have said that. Or I know I shouldn't have thought that. Or I know that, but Lord, forgive me. It's over. You know what happens with most of us? We're doing this. We haven't served enough penance, so we got to walk around and go, I'm going to kick myself. Oh, I made that mistake. Oh, let me kick myself one more time. Okay, now I've done enough. Okay, I feel better. That has nothing to do with it. You don't have to crawl on your knees. You don't have to burn candles. You don't have to pay the preacher. You don't have to do all these silly things that has been put into church, different churches by man. All you have to do is with a real, genuine, repentant heart say, Father, I'm sorry. I forgive me of that. And it's over with. And you turn around and make the same mistake again. And ask Him again. I've said this before over at the storefront. When you made that mistake today, Brother Lee, and you ask forgiveness, and 5 minutes later you've done it again, and you ask forgiveness, it was like you never done it. Because He don't remember it. You remember. The enemy remembers. But He don't remember. You don't want to keep making that mistake. But listen, friends, if you keep making that mistake, let me tell you what. You drive nails. You hit your finger enough, sooner or later you're going to learn how to hit that nail instead of your finger. You work on them cars and you let that wrench slip and you crack your hands and cut them or your knuckles or something. Sooner or later you're going to learn how to hold on to that wrench so you don't do those things or put on a nice pair of gloves. You step down off a ladder like I've done a few times and step into a bucket of paint. Sooner or later, you're going to learn to swing around from that ladder instead of stepping in that paint. Get tired changing them socks when they're all full of paint, you know. But what I'm saying is you're going to learn not to make that mistake. And then the devil's going to come at you with something else. Don't worry. He'll be there. But you can defeat him. How? With the word. But you've got to have the word in you to defeat him. Think about it. You've got to be in that holiest of holies. You can stand there like they did at Pentecost and scream and holler and yell all you want to. He don't have to budge if you don't have the life backing it up. Amen. You've got to be able to say, Satan, it's written. You've got to be able to do it with authority and know where you stand. But you can't do that unless you've went into that holiest of holies. Brother Branham says this on Pergamon Church Age. Getting back to my message. Where am I at here? Oh my. The hidden manna. He said, let's give the interpretation the best we can. What does hidden manna type? Hidden manna was a manna that was kept in the place, or shewbread in the Bible, that was only for the priest. How many knows that, see? Now, it wasn't for, they had a bread for the congregation, but there was a special bread for the priest. Is that right? This special bread, a special bread, hidden manna, what is it? Who is our manna? Christ.
Amen.
See, back then it was a natural bread. Today, it's a spiritual bread. It's Jesus Christ Himself that we feed upon. The Word of God. The Word of God that's been revealed, that has come to us. And where do you get it? In that special hidden place, hidden away with Christ. Once you know that you're His, once you've come into that hidden manna, into that holiest of holies, then you partake of that hidden manna. Oh, you say, but I go to church and yet I haven't got the Holy Ghost yet, but I sit and I hear the message. Sure you do. You can hear it with your ears. You can read it with your eyes. You can read it out loud with your lips. But what's that? That doesn't mean it's down here. It hasn't become a revelation. When it becomes a revelation, then you know who you are. When he talked about unto the bride, you can say, oh, yes, that's Sister Lori. Yeah, oh, unto Lori, I've written this word. Think about it. Unto Ashley, I've written this word. Unto my chosen, unto Joshua. See, you put your name in there. And then when you know it's yours, you claim it. But think. When your life matches that word. Nobody has to tell you sisters how to dress. I don't hear Brother Nathan. Let me think about this. Brent and I were talking the other day. I said, you ever think about that? How many times do you hear Brother Nathan get up and say, now, Sister Hoover? Or he may not even call your name. Maybe he's just preaching. He kind of looks over at you, you know. You know, these people that wear their dresses a little short. No, I'm not. No, you don't. I didn't mean so. Don't. I'm not. I just had to pick on her because we're friends. But think about it. I've been in churches where they do that. It's nothing like sitting in the church and being the only one of only three families from Oklahoma or from Tulsa and hear the preacher get up and say, these people from Tulsa, they don't believe this message like we do. Yeah, I mean, you had to hit me and my brother-in-law and my father-in-law with a board because we didn't know he was talking about us. Right. Don't you have nothing to do with them? They didn't, because it wasn't long. We had a little church in Tulsa. But, you know, that's all right. They believed what they believed, and I had to stay with the message. I got off track, didn't I? Okay. Brenda told me not to talk to myself, so. She said, when you lose your place up there, don't go talking to yourself about it. I said, I'm not talking to myself. I'm telling the people, whoops, I messed up. Where was I at now? Did I get you that time? Okay. All right, listen. The hidden manna. Let me back up here. What was our hidden manna? Christ. All right, St. John, the 6th chapter, 48 to 50th verse says, if you're putting it down, Jesus said he was the bread of life that came down from God out of heaven, the manna. See, so that's our manna today. We don't have 6 loaves on this side of the ark and 6, or I mean, excuse me, of the table and 6 loaves on this side. We have Christ in our hearts. We have Christ on the page. We have Christ on the pictures. We have Christ in the printed book. I don't have one up here, but we have Christ on the printed book. We have Christ on the tapes. But the main place is to have Christ in your heart. Not just to come to a message, church. Not just to believe the message. Because, friends, the devil believes the message. Now, if anybody can show me where the devil is saved just because he believes the message, I'll repent of this. But the devil isn't saved. He cannot be saved. I don't care how much he believes. And he knows the message better than we do. He knows the Bible better than we do. He's been around long enough. But that don't make him saved. So just believing, just going to church. And Brother Bam said he's there in every service. He sure ain't going to be saved. He's still just as lost and bound for hell with the rest of his angels as he can be. So don't think coming to church, don't think looking at the pictures, singing the songs, and all these other things we talk about is, oh, I've got her. Not unless you've got him inside of here. Brother Branham told us what? He said it's not knowing the message or the word or the Bible, whichever word you want to put in there, but it's knowing the author. That's where it is. And that goes from the young people to the old people. It don't matter if your brother Buckle's age or if you're a baby's age back there. When that baby grows up to a certain amount of age, it's got to learn the Word of God. It's got to learn about Jesus. And eventually, if the Lord tarries, it's got to learn to know Jesus. Being raised in a Christian home, a message home, is wonderful. But that's not good enough. He said the next court was the lamp of God where the justified stand and was lit by human hands. And that's where we argue our denominations. Uh-oh. How much of that do you hear about the message, around the message? I could change that and say, oh, that's where we, in the message, stand around and argue our little doctrines and we argue our little differences. And, well, don't go over to that church because they don't see this. And don't go over to that church because they don't see this. And there's a church down the street. Take this rock and throw it and you can hit one. Not here, but in some states. You can hit the next church down the street and they split off from this one because they didn't like. Sure. Why do you think Pentecost ended up with about 10 different, 12 different ideas of denominations? Because they couldn't agree. Oneness, two-ness, three-ness. Jesus' name or Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Forwards or backwards or shouting or no shouting or tongues or no tongues or whatever it was. So they all split off. We're going to start this, and we'll go over here, and we'll start this, and we'll go over here, and we'll start this, and we'll go over here and start this. Oh, that's where we argue our denominations, where we argue our differences, where we split hairs. Oh, boy, have I seen that one. And, oh, I don't believe in divine healing. I don't believe in, whoops, keep my finger off the screen. All right, we don't believe in divine healing. I don't believe in them visions came from God. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. You're arguing because you're living. Yet you're eating manna. Think about this now. You're eating manna. You're hearing the tapes. You're sitting there saying, oh, bless God, amen. That's right. What he said was right. What the preacher said was right. What Brother Branham said was right. See, you're eating manna. But you're living under artificial light. That's right. Sometimes the light goes out and sometimes your lamp gets smoked up. But he who desires to hide away, where? Into the holiest of holies. What? He who what? Desires. Is that right?
Right.
Well, tell me where that desire came from. Let's go back to predestination. He who desires to hide away, to walk into the next place, there's no artificial light anywhere. But down in between the arch of the wings of those cherubims was a supernatural light hanging there, which was the halo of God that lit the whole room. And a man that once entered into that Shekinah glory, hallelujah, he says, that moves back in there in the presence of Almighty God. And Brother Branham knocks on the pulpit. He said, the dimness of this world, any artificial organizations, all man-made creeds has passed away, and he's living in the Shekinah glory of God. How? By coming the way that God provided. You walk into the outer courts, but in the outer courts is where you made your sacrifice, where it was washed and where it was cut up and where it was burnt to offer a sacrifice to God. But once that was done, if you do that, you say, oh, guess what? There's something down within me calling me. I've just got to go to church. I've just got to, there's something calling me. I don't understand it, but I've got to go to church. I just need to get somewhere. There's something, I don't know what it is, but I got to go. You made your sacrifice. You come to church and you walk into the holy place. Not the building. Stay with me now. We're talking about spiritually. You walk into the holy place. And in that holy place was what? Man-made lights. Oh, but you've been justified because he called you something hungering and thirsting, a deep calling to the deep, wanting you to come, and you come. And then you sit down and you say, oh my, this is like sitting among angels. Oh my, how wonderful this is. Oh, Brother Mora, we're standing here, sitting here. No, the presence of God comes in, and there's that little, let's call him, I'm not going to say he's a wheat, but let's just use the parable. And there's that little wheat over there raising his hands, just shouting and praising God for the rain and for the sun and for everything else that he gets. And there's that wheat standing over there doing the same thing.
All right.
But we don't know. Sometimes when you look at that, you can't tell if this weed is a wheat or if it's a wheat. And you look at a weed and you say, oh, that's a wheat. Maybe it's a weed. What did Jesus say? Leave them alone. Just let them grow up together. I'll separate it at the time. So they come in. What are we going to do? Say, oh, well, you're not welcome here because you didn't dress just exactly right. Go let your hair grow out and then come back. Go put on a right kind of dress and then come back. I thought church was where we was able to get some sinners in. It's a good place for all of us. But what about the sinners? Have you ever sat in a church? I was talking to Brother and Sister Hoover about it. You ever sat in a church? Let me go over here and do this. And here comes a homeless person down the street, from the street, and walk in. And they walk by, and I sat in a church, and I watched them. And people look and go, until they get by, and then they sit back up. And if they get up and walk out, they go, and they look at them like, must be some diseased leper or something worse than that. And they lean away from them. Can you lean far enough away so you can pull that sinner into Christ? Or can you get up and shake their hand and say, glad to see you here. Glad you made it. Won't you come in here? The deacons, I'm a deacon, so we all should do that. Come on in. I'm not talking about some false prophets that want to come in. I'm talking about the average Joe that walks in here. I got no use for false prophets. But when this guy comes in, if we can't shake his hand and say, won't you come on in? Well, here, can we find you a seat? Won't you sit and listen and join us in some songs? Enjoy the service. Oh, maybe they're not dressed quite the way. Well, maybe they didn't bathe this week. Maybe they didn't have a chance. Okay, well, try not to move too far down at the other end of the pew if they smell a little bit. Maybe you'd be better off if you just sit right up close to them and make them feel at home. But see, the people around the message, I know. I've been there, seen it. They tend to want to move the other way. Why? Because, well, bless God, I'm a message believer. I believe this message. I've got the Holy Ghost. Then act like it. Amen. Jesus sure didn't run after the scribes and Pharisees. In fact, he berated them. So if you feel berated tonight, I don't know who you are, but if you do, then line up. If you want to get mad at me, pray for me. Line up anyway. I hope I never see that in this church. Some homeless person walk in and I see somebody lean aside. I may have to take you aside and say, what are you doing? Help me, Lord. All right, let's go back to this. I think I made my point. I got to hurry. I haven't even got past the first page yet. Oh, we're living in the Shekinah glory of the Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful? He goes on to say, now in the Old Testament, there was what they called the outer court. That's where they made the sacrifices. We watched what was in the outer court, and then there was the holy place, or in the first veil. And then the inside of that was the holiest of holies. What furniture was in the outer court was at the veil, the holy place, and what was in the holiest of holies. He's reminded us, what was here? What was here? What was here? The Ark of the Covenant, and the pillar of fire was in the holiest of holies. Think about that. I want to ask you a question. Most of you will probably know it. Maybe some of you don't. Have you ever wondered what in the world happened to that Ark of the Covenant? Where's it at today? I know men sometimes think they found the Ark of the Covenant. And that's fine. What good would it do them if they found it? Make the Jews happy, perhaps. But it won't do you and I any good. But where's the Ark of the Covenant today for us? I know Brother Trevor knows, and probably our brother from Finland probably knows the answer. Brother Hoover knows. I'm sure Brother Bird knows. How many of you know where the Ark of the Covenant is today? Anybody? Afraid to answer? I don't blame you. Right here. Amen. This is the Ark. The Covenant, the Word, the Holy Ghost that hangs over the head. Coming and dwelling in there. You are the Ark of the Covenant today. Now, if you're an ark and you don't have the covenant, you're missing something.
Amen.
Because you can't have one without the other. You couldn't walk into that holiest of holies and say, oh, here I am. Well, there's the pillar of fire, but I don't see no ark. It didn't work that way. You couldn't walk in there as the high priest and say, well, there's the ark, but I don't see the pillar of fire. The Bible said they were both there. See, back then, as you all, most of you should know, the high priest could only go in there once a year. And he had to make certain preparations to get in there. But now, with that physical veil, that natural veil rent, we are now able to go into the holiest of holies any time we want to. But, say, uh-oh, you have to meet the conditions of God to go in there. You've got to be justified, sanctified. You've got to be ready and then be filled. Remember, I was talking about the glass. You cleaned it up and where was it? Set it over there. Oh, that's just so pretty. It's just looking so nice sitting there. What good is that glass sitting there? Then you reach over and you take it and you fill it full of water or tea or orange juice or Coke or whatever it is you drink. Now it's in service. But until then it was justified. It was sanctified. Now it's in service. Right. It can sit there all day long and be sanctified. It's yours. You like it. Oh, you cherish it. You think it's wonderful. But until you put it in service, it's not really doing you any good. Then think about you and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be justified and sanctified, but until you follow through on His word and you go all the way into getting the Holy Ghost, you're not doing Him any good.
Amen.
Think about it, because you're not in service for Him. You're in service for what? For me. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. Oh, I've cleaned up my life. I've done this. I've done that. I've done the other. But what about Him? He's got to come in. I don't care how well you know the message. I don't care how good you can sing or how much you can dance or how many tongues you speak in. I don't care if you can raise the dead and cast out devils and open blind eyes. If you don't know Jesus Christ, what good are you doing for Him? He says, now we're going to speak tonight on the holiest of holies in the dwelling place where God Himself dwelt. Them days He dwelt in His tabernacle, and today He dwells in you as His tabernacle, and we must make this a dwelling place, not an outer place or a first place, but we must live with God in the holiest of holies, a consecrated, hidden life, quiet with God. Coming to church and sitting in the holy place is wonderful. But what about getting in behind that veil?
Amen.
That spiritual veil I'm talking about, where you can be in there filled with the Holy Ghost. Think about it, people. You come to church and you just sit there and you clap your hands and you sing and you enjoy it. It'd be like I remember going down to Brother Yancey's several years in a row there, and I somehow two or three services I'd get stuck. I don't mean stuck, wrong way. I didn't mean it that way when I said stuck. I would end up sitting by this elderly black gentleman. And oh, they'd get to singing. I'd just be rejoicing and singing and enjoying myself. And he'd be over there. He'd be jumping up and down and speaking in tongues and popping all around and doing this and this and having a good time. And I'd just look over and say, yeah, it's all right. I'm just having a good time watching him have a good time. It didn't make me lost. I was worshiping my way. He was worshiping in his way. But from talking to him, I believe he knew the Lord himself.
Right.
I think we all understand the anointed ones at the end time. We understand how you can come to church, and you should, and how you can rejoice, and you should, how you can sing, and you should, how you can clap and do all of these things, and you should. But the most important thing is what? Is knowing him.
Amen.
What good does it do to come to church if you don't do anything else but just come to church and take up space? You may do the pastor some good. You may do the bank account some good. You may do your neighbor and your friends some good, because, oh, we want to see you. And, oh, Sister Brian, she's such a lovely woman. She's so faithful. She goes to church all the time. But did she step into that holiest of holies?
Right.
I believe she did. See what I'm saying? Just to come, young people, and sit on the pew, that's wonderful, but that's not good enough. You want to finish second place? Third place? Or do you really want to finish in first place? Ask Brother Caleb back there when he come up one night some months back and he stayed here until he got him. We got up. He said, I got it and I know. Amen. Is that right, Brother Caleb? See? That's the kind of thing you've got to do. Not because you're old, not because you're young, but because he called you. All right. He said, thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony and put the hanging door to the tabernacle, hanging of the door to the tabernacle. In the holy place, the priest could eat of the bread, the word, walk in the light, all the light that they had, man-made light, the candle, and they could pray at the altar. Now, this was a golden altar with incense on it, and on the other, sitting up against the curtain, and on the other side of that curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. But they couldn't go in there. They had to meet all of God's requirements before they could go into that holiest of holies. And so do you, and so do I. We can come to church. We can offer up our prayers. We can sing. We can sit and walk in the light. We can hear the word. But until we have made that consecrated effort and sold out to everything that we know to sell out of in the world and gave our life completely to God, we're just good old-fashioned churchgoers. In second place. It said, what's he, God, doing here in the wilderness? He's preparing a place to come and commune with man. You. Me. That's a type of what we have to, or should have today. It's a type of what's available today. It was a type of God preparing a way and a place to come and commune with man in the last days. And he, Jesus Christ, is the high priest. And he is the sacrifice, the Son of God. And he was washed and baptized. He partook of the word. He partook of the word, and he was and is the word. He was and is the light, and he knelt at the altar and prayed. It said, then shalt thou set the offering of the burnt, the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Your offer has to be placed upon the altar. Think about it. What is your offering? You. You're the offering. You're the sacrifice. When you come and looking for the Holy Ghost or anything from God, what do? Lord, if there's anything that I've done that's been wrong, any mistake, forgive me. Lord, if I've sinned in any way and I don't even realize it, or even if I know I made a mistake, I know I've done something I shouldn't have, forgive me, oh Lord, I ask. Amen. Your offering. Lord, here am I. Accept me. Lord, forgive me. Take me. Wash me anew in the blood of Jesus Christ. Refill me with the Holy Ghost. You offer your offering, which is you, upon the altar of prayer to your supreme Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like in the tabernacle, they had to come and they had certain things they had to do. They had to bring a certain type of animal. It had to be in a certain condition. It couldn't just be the old scrawny one. It had to be the best of the best of the best. And they brought it to the priest, and the priest slew it with his hands, with the bringers or the offerers, however you want to say it, the owner's hands upon the sacrifice, and laid there while it was dying, and that owner's there with his hand up on it, and then they took it, and they done their certain ceremonies with it, and they had to wash it, and then they had to burn it, but then that person had to, and he had to walk out. But the priest could walk on in because he'd done what he was supposed to do into the holiest of holies. But now, we don't have to go through that. Now we can come to the altar of sacrifice and offer our own sacrifice, which is us, upon the altar of prayer to Almighty God, begging for forgiveness, seeking forgiveness, wanting to get everything taken out of us that we've got. Give up everything you can upon the altar of sacrifice so you can come in first place. Tabernacle, typing salvation today. And I'm almost out of time. So let me skip on down here. Brother Bam says this, so it is with each one of us. When we come to worship and commune with God, we wash ourselves with the water of right. And what do you mean? Well, you take the word and do what? Let me see, Brother Hoover over here, it says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and thou shalt, and you must have the Holy Ghost, and you must repent, and you must be baptized, and you must do this. He's got certain rules that we must come and we must worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. I find too many churches in the Message especially went around, oh, they've got the truth. But what happened to the spirit? I've been in a few of them. They've got a whole lot of spirit. And the preacher's a good preacher, but what did he say about Brother Branham? Nothing. He preached an hour and didn't mention God's prophet. And believe the Message? Okay, well, whatever. Paul said, go back to this. Paul said what? Oh, wait a minute, I got ahead of myself. Forgive me. Hey, Paul said, what? He said, you've got to check up on yourself. Paul said, I die daily in 1 Corinthians. My brother and sister, it behooves you and I as children of God to check ourselves daily. Brother Bram said he checked himself hourly. Then what about you and I? Think about it. Coming to church is great. I'll say it again. Singing is great. Believing the Message is great. But what I want to see is a church that is so filled with the Holy Ghost, so full of love, that every time we come together, that God will come down in His Shekinah glory and meet us here. I don't only just want to bring Him my lick of fire, and you bring yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. That's fine. But let's have Him come down in His Shekinah glory. Brother Bram said, you know what that Shekinah glory is? I said, that's His presence. Oh, we've been blessed in this little church to have the presence of God come in so many times and work so many miracles and save some souls and so forth. But we need to be to the point where every time we walk in the door, He's going to be here with us. Every meeting, He's going to be here with us. We want to keep moving up and up and up and up. And I want the young people to come along with the same ride that we're on. I want them to get on that chariot and let's get out of here. I don't want to be here much longer. We've been here too long. One of the other sermons I thought about preaching on, and the Lord changed it to this one. But I thought, you know, I was been a message a long time. I remember back when Brother Brown first left, was taken off the scene, we wondered, Lord, what are we going to do now? Then we realized we had to get back into the presence of the Son, the revealed Word, and lay in that and listen and ripen and soak it up and grow. But then we went along for a few years and oh, then this big debate on 1977 comes up and it's still around. And I seen 1977 come and go. I seen a bunch fall off. Oh, we went along a little while, then next thing, oh my goodness, Brother Hoover, it's 2000. Oh, the prophet's been gone X amount of years. Oh, 2000, what are we going to do? 2000's coming up on us. What's going to happen? Oh, we're starting another century. Oh my goodness, what's going to go on? Oh, we heard all the doomsday and the naysayers and all the doubters and all this other stuff go on. 2000 came and went. A bunch fell off. Not long after that, we get all this other garbage start growing, these other weeds growing up. They want to call him a liar and say he made mistakes and say this and say that. Nah, I don't even listen to him. Amen. You keep your mind upon Jesus Christ. Keep your mind upon the Word. I've got 1 minute, Brother Hoover, if I'm going to be on time. Musicians, you want to come, please? I'll say this. So let's approach God with reverence. And with repentance. And if we sinned, He's made a way for us to be forgiven. Even as Job, the Lord, he said, Lord, forgive me of my secret sins. If I've done any wrong and I don't know it, please forgive me. I do the same thing every day. He said, Brother Layton, you have the Holy Ghost and you're preaching the gospel and you repent every day? Every day. Every day. Never know when we might say something or slip or offend somebody or do something. Maybe you didn't even realize it. Lord, if there's something I've done, said, thought, felt, it's wrong, forgive me. And after you're sure that all things are forgiven, you can be sure that you're dressed in the right garments. Why? Because the bride hath made herself ready. So when you hear somebody say, oh, I wish God would take these cigarettes away. Oh, I wish God would help me to quit lying. I wish God would take this temper away. I wish, do something about it yourself. Throw them down in the name of Jesus Christ. Get down and pray about that temper if you can't control it. Brother Bam said, go pray about it. Get up and go do something about it.
Amen.
Same with drinking, lying, cheating, stealing, anything else. You just need to pray longer, pray harder, pray more sincere. It'll disappear. You'll get up one day and wonder, where did that go? Oh, my. Okay, I've got to quit. It's 9 o'clock. Just like the tabernacle in the wilderness, friends. That's your type. He's made a way, but we have to come His provided way. Outer court, inner court, holiest of holies. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He made a way for what? For whosoever will. He calls. Remember the scripture says, many are called. Look at Brother Branham's meetings. You look at the old films and look at thousands upon thousands upon thousands sitting in those meetings. I wonder how many of them really came. But everyone sitting there was called. Everyone heard. Everyone seen. Everyone felt. But very few came. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the chosen is whosoever will. They'll come and they'll make themselves ready. Okay. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Father God, as I approach you, forgive me, Lord, for stumbling over some of my words. And if I've made a mistake in anything I've said, it would be a mistake, Lord. I didn't mean to say anything wrong. Don't know that I did, but perchance, forgive me. But Lord, we sit here with the redeemed by your blood. We sit here with others that have made a start. Perhaps they've reached the point of justification. Others may have reached the point of sanctification. But I know, Lord, there are those that are sitting here that haven't reached the point of filling with the Holy Ghost. They haven't gone in behind the holiest of holies. Lord, that's what we want tonight. Forgive each and every one of us sitting here, I ask, of any wrongs, any mistakes, even any sins. Refill us with the Holy Ghost. Lord, burn anew in our hearts. Let us not let this message become common. And Father, if there's any that needs you, you call them tonight, I ask. Lord, I give you glory and honor for helping me with this message, and may it go into the hearts of those that need it. May it encourage your children. May you receive the glory for it, for you're the one. Lord, I'm just an instrument, but you are Almighty God. You're the one that does it all. Now help us, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, I ask. As you keep your head bowed, is there one that would like to raise their hand? Would you like to say, Brother Layton, I know I need the Lord. I know I don't have the Holy Ghost. I want it. God bless you. God bless you. God knows your heart. You're not raising your hands to Brother Layton. I can't save you. All I can do is make the call and say, do you know you need him? Do you want to know him? Is tonight the night you want to come and say, God, accept me? I'm offering myself to you. Is tonight the night? Would you like to give it all over to him? Do you want to be in the race for second place, or do you want to be in the race for first place? Do you want to sit out in the holy place, or do you want to come into the holiest of holies and know him? Find that joy, that happiness, that peace. Not because mom and dad says so, or the preacher says so, or the deacon says so, but because he put something down in your heart that you just have that desire. God, I've got to have you. I've been there, young people. Get so hungry where you just couldn't stand it. You had to have Jesus Christ in your heart. Heavenly Father, you've seen those that raise their hand. Now, Lord, that's a start. Father, my desire is to see them give everything over to you and step into the holiest of holies. Lord, they're good people. They mean well, but they realize they need you. You take control and you lead them right straight to where you want them to be. Lord, lead them right into the holiest of holies. Fill them so full of the Holy Ghost and seal them so far back into that holy place, that holiest place, that they'll never get out. That the desire will be gone, Lord, that they don't want to do nothing but to make you happy and live for you. Grant it, Lord, and I thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. And with thanksgiving, Lord, I'll be a living.
Each
that floods my soul. Got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it. He's got it all in. That's why I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. So every road I walk on, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. So every road I walk on, I'm sure it's in His plan. I put my life in His hands.
Amen. Sometimes I just need reminding of that. Amen.
Oh, I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over. Oh, He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh,
you saints, you can be dismissed.
Over.